serve God, but yet compassionate enough to cry and to talk to their children. Amen. And too many times fathers have ruined their sons saying big boys don't, when instead they needed to be crying in front of their children and they needed to see their daddy weep, to know that it's real and it's okay to cry. And instead they made them be tough. You don't cry. And they destroyed their children doing this. Whew, my God. Adam should have learned when he saw the compassion that God had to him, had for him. He should have reciprocated it to him. And then we look, if Adam could have been like John, the revelator, John. John was the youngest of the 12 apostles. The Bible said, not the Bible, but history says that John was about 17 when Jesus said, follow me. It was John. She had Peter and Andrew and James and John. And James was John's brother, and they were partners in fishing with Peter and Andrew. You remember? And so of all of these, James and John were the sons of Zebedee, and John was about 17 years old, just coming into that place where you'd really need a lot of good guidance. Yeah, I'm telling you, most mistakes that people reap all their life, they made at about 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And then they're reaping it the rest of their life. John was so fortunate to just get up and lead. And he had a father that was teaching him how to fish. There's no doubt. And he had a mother that loved him because she wanted him to sit on the right or the left when Jesus came into his kingdom. So they did care about him. But he forsook father and mother to follow his father figure at a really good age. Oh, hallelujah. It's interesting that John writes 5 books of the Bible. He wrote about the simplicity of love, and yet he wrote about the deep things in the book of Revelation. And here we are with 11 other disciples and John. John looked to Jesus for love, for discipline, for security, for power, for support, for safety, all the things that a father figure should provide. And while others were raising their swords, he had his head on Jesus' bosom. I just can imagine Peter thought he was a wimp. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, Jesus is like 33, let's say, 30 to 33 and a half. He's ministered 33 and a half years. John is 17, so he couldn't have been over 20 and a half. And here's a 20-year-old on a 35-year-old. And it's Peter's, I'll cut your ears off. And he's like. And while these other apostles, you see, will later be afraid and scatter, John, he's right there. He's right there. And while others were running, John was with Jesus. Oh, what a difference a father figure can make in somebody's life. John may have looked like a wimp, but I'm telling you, when all the others were scattered, he was hanging out at the cross while Jesus was on his cross. They were both hanging out. So let's observe this. We read in our text that 12 apostles were gathered together at the Last Supper, and Jesus was really the father of them all, right? He called them all. He was to be their father figure. He was the father, if you will, of this movement, of kingdom movement. And while he's sitting there at the table, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." And as he spoke these words, John is at the table. Oh, I mean, we would say, come on, get a life, son. Come on, Johnny, grow up. But he was so close to Jesus. One of you will betray me. And they're all, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And this circulates around trying to figure out who it is. And the tough one, Peter, the tough one, asks the tender one to find out who it is. Isn't that interesting? The tough one couldn't say, Lord, is it me? Who is it, Lord? Because he wasn't close enough to, he didn't see him as a father figure. He didn't have relationship with him. So he asked the one who did. Ask him who it is. Who is it? Who is it? And it's interesting because the strong one asked the weak one to ask Jesus who it was. And Jesus let out to him one of the greatest revelations about who the disciple would be that would bring him to death. And he said to John, it is the one whom I dip the sop and give it to him. And only John knew it. Because the Bible says that when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, and they all wondered. Because he got up, the Bible says that the Satan entered in immediately, and it was night. And he got out, and they thought, well, he's going to buy things for the feast. He's got the purse. They didn't know. But John did. John did. That same night, two men would betray Jesus, Judas and Peter. One would find repentance and the other would not. Shortly thereafter, they were all scattered and they were all finding their hiding place but one. Did you hear that? They were all scattered and they were all trying to find a hiding place but one. The one who communicated with Jesus. The one who saw him as a father figure. I will be with you to the end of the world. My life had not been what it is today if I hadn't have found you at 17 years old. I owe everything to you. If they take you, they'll have to take me. I may not have a sword, but I'll be there right by you. And so we find that John stayed from the trial of Jesus to the cross of Jesus. From the courtroom to the cross, he was there with Jesus. John was there to see the blood come out of the bosom he once laid on, while the others were scattered trying to find some hiding place. And while Jesus was on, you talk about a father figure, while Jesus was on the cross, he looked at John and said, behold thy son. And he looked at his mother and said, behold thy mother and behold thy son. He was telling John, you take care of mom. Peter may have gotten the keys to the kingdom. He may have turned over the keys to the kingdom to Peter, but he turned his mother over to John. Who would you turn your mother over to? But somebody who you could communicate with. And from that moment on, John took his mother into his own home. And you might think that the father figure story is over, but I'm here to tell you it's not. It's not. Let me quickly tell you, Jesus has been resurrected and we find the Apostle Peter is back on the boat. And along with the Apostle Peter, we will find John is on the boat. And Jesus now is resurrected. He's standing on the bank and he hollers out to all these guys in the boat, have you any meat? And they answer, no. John said, I recognize the voice. The voice, who is the voice of my father figure. And when he recognized the voice, he told the boisterous one, it is the Lord. The weak one told the strong one, I recognize the voice. Whew. And it's interesting that the Apostle Peter, like Adam, when he heard the voice, he was afraid. And he wrapped himself in a fisherman's coat and because he was naked and he cast himself into the sea to hide. Not John. Not John. Over here, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, it's Jesus. Ooh, thank the Lord. He was glad to see him. My. Jesus called Peter. I'm glad he called him out of hiding. I mean, you got the keys of the kingdom. You can't do that. Can't be doing that stuff and preach too. I tell people, you're going to go up here, all that stuff's got to stop. You're going to tell other people how to live, you better get your life right. Get your life right, then you can tell other people how to live. And so he calls him out of hiding and brings him on the shore. He says, do you love me? And he said, you know the story three times. Yay, Lord, I love you. And they're kind of getting into this little spat right here. And guess who's standing there? John, he's listening. They're going back and forth. Watch this. This is good. John 20:1-17. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter said, was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, like him, when you was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest with whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. When John was 17, he was following Jesus. And Jesus didn't say anything to him. This spake he, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, come on, follow me. And Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also the same one I asked that question to. This is John writing his own book, and he puts this in here, which also leaned on the breast at supper. Let's go back to this moment and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? He's bringing this back, Brother Johnson, to the moment that you wouldn't talk to him there, and now you're going to ask him about me? When you was wanting to know who's going to betray you, you wouldn't even ask the question. Peter seems to be a little jealous of John, wouldn't you say? You know, people get jealous. You get close to somebody, oh, they're buttering them up. Lord, he treats them like it's an only child. All this kind of stuff. Oh, Lord, I don't have time. John 21:21. Peter seeing him, saith unto him, what shall this man do? You told me how I'm going to die. Tell me how he's going to die. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. It's none of your business. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Isn't that funny how preachers start them rumors? Did you know preachers start rumors? Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? John said it straight. And it's interesting. John may still be living. We don't know. They couldn't kill him. Peter, they crucified, history says, upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to die like Christ. Just turn me upside down. I don't know that to be a fact. But this I do know. They couldn't kill John. It's the book says so. They tried to boil him in oil, and they couldn't. So they put him out on an island because they didn't know what to do with him. Because if you can't kill him the first time, even the electric chair today, if it doesn't work right, you're free. And so they put him out on an island to die. And there I was in the Spirit. On the Lord's day, he's still my father figure. And he wrote unspeakable things. So much so that he said, shut the book because nobody's going to understand. He had relationship with God and continued to live a prosperous life until we lost track of John. I close with this morning. We are all born into the kingdom of God. And we all need a father figure in our walk with Christ. I am calling to the church to be father figures, mother figures, parent figures, to kids that don't have father figures and mother figures and parent figures. Because just as it is important in their biological life for their development, how much more is it important in their spiritual life and their spiritual development that you spend some quality time? I'm talking about the end of the day time. I'm talking about the cool of the day, what's going on in your life. And talk to them and have communication with them. You ever heard of the word mentor? Mentor them. Hallelujah. Am I making any sense to y'all this morning? And until we see God as our father figure, we will never be the father figure we need to be to someone else. Jesus was such a father figure that he said that God was the head, then there's Christ, then there's the man, and he said that Christ so loved not the world, but the church. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Christ so loved the church that he gave his life for it. That's worth remembering right there. So this morning, I ask you, you don't have to be blood kin to anybody, but I encourage you, find somebody that you can be a father or a mother figure to them. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. Let's take a quick break, and I'll see you for morning worship.